On this episode of Football 301 Draft Weekend Recap, Matt Harmon and Charles McDonald join me live from LA. We are capping off our live shows with a little recap. We're going to go over our favorite draft classes, our least favorite draft classes, our favorite player team fits, a couple other superlatives. Really fun show here from LA. See you guys in a minute. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. We are here live from LA, capping off draft weekend. We are going to give some draft grades, some of our favorite classes, least favorite classes, favorite player and team fits, all that good stuff to recap 3 days of a lot. A lot of players, a lot of narratives to recap, but joining me to do that, Matt Harmon. How you doing today, Matt? And Charles McDonald. But we'll start with Matt. How's your weekend been?
Oh, it's been great. This is a historic year for me because this is the wide receiver class where I've ended up charting the most undrafted players.
As you say, through gritted teeth. Yeah,
well, to be fair to myself, I guess. I did more players than ever before, so I guess just numbers wise, like, that's going to happen. But also, I knew it was going to happen with Bond, who I don't even think is signed with a team.
He's good, persona non grata.
Good decision. But I knew that was going to happen. Restrepo with the 4.8, I knew that was a risk. But the old guys got banged this year. Andrew Armstrong went undrafted, and Nick Nash, we were just talking about old players. He was at San Jose State in 2019, like pre-COVID guy, and he went undrafted. So it's okay. It was all it's more about the friends we made along the way.
Absolutely. Charles, how was your weekend at LA? Like, I know, right? He's like, I'm not mad. I'm glad I did in the work. It was good, listen, process, right?
For Restrepo to land with Cam Ward, that's cool. For the Dolphins to get a receiver and Andrew Armstrong, who actually wants to block.
Yeah.
It all worked out. Yeah. The Bond thing could have lived without
it. It was due to happen. Yeah. Chuck, how you doing? Surviving LA?
When you turn yourself in for sexual assault a week before the draft, you're probably not going to get drafted.
Right.
Yeah. Ari, Isaiah Bond.
Isaiah Bond. Not you.
Not me. I'm talking about Isaiah Bond, the prospect, right?
Yes.
We were scared around it. No, he turned himself in for sexual assault before the draft started. I'm doing good. You know, it's been great. It's been great to get away from the New York City weather for a little bit. Been enjoying the sun. Wish it was a little warmer here, but I'm glad that I have this opportunity to be around you guys and to be here in LA to not think about the Falcons draft.
Yet. We'll circle back on the Falcons.
We'll
be talking about them today. Charles, how many tacos did you have this weekend as well? I think you really enjoyed the LA food as well.
I probably had 7 or 8 tacos. I had 2 this morning outside the laundromat when I was washing some clothes. So
how long he's been here in LA. He had to go to the laundromat. That is not an exaggeration.
No, I got one more day.
That's right.
I'm getting out of here today. But no, it was super fun doing the Thursday night show, the Friday night show with you guys and Jason Fitz. I want to say thank you to everyone that joined us for that. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out on YouTube. It's still out there. It's a lot of fun. But yes, we're going to recap today those draft grades. We're going to start out with our favorites and least favorites. We're going to explain the draft grade, or Matt can argue against it, I'm sure, with a couple of his books. We haven't really talked that. But also, Charles and I did grades that you can check out on the Yahoo site. I did AFC, Charles did NFC, but we're going to talk about them all today. Matt, how about you kick us off? What was one of your most favorite draft classes from this weekend?
Oh, I think the New England Patriots had a wonderful weekend with the NFL draft. Number one, they take Will Campbell at the 4th overall pick. Even if I maybe liked Armon Membu slightly more, it's not like it's just a little matter of preference. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Still a great pick there. As we said on the live show, even if he ends up becoming an all-pro guard, if that is his eventual landing spot, that you can't argue with that. Again, Brandon Scherff is the comparison there. Yeah. Like, you just want to take one of the best guards in the league. This is an offensive line that needs help across the board. Travion Henderson with the 6th pick in the 2nd round. Also really like that one because, one, the run game needed a little more pop. Ramondre Stevenson, 3.9 yards per carry last year. I think he can be an okay tandem back, but more importantly, Henderson and what he's going to give from a pass protection standpoint for Drake May, and as like an outlet receiver. Oh, this offensive line is not getting fixed in one shot here, okay? So we might need a guy who Drake May can just reliably get the ball to in space. Kyle Williams in the third round.
Yeah.
Loved that pick. That was like a round later than where I had Williams kind of graded out. So he brings an element of separation and yards after catchability that I don't think the combination of those two things existed in any one player in this receiver room. And then to trade down and get Jared Wilson, the center out of Georgia, as you know, Charles was saying, that might have been his favorite Georgia lineman in the draft.
The only one. Yeah.
The only one you actually I was going to say it nicely, like your favorite one, or yeah, the only one that he liked. I thought that was a great move. And then, you know, they just made some nice little shots on day three, get a kicker in the mix. Why not? I really think they did a lot too. They did what I would want. Wanted them to do in this draft, which is they added a lot. The big swings in free agency were on defense. That means you had to really help Drake May out in the draft. I think they successfully did that in this one.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite classes too. I gave them an A on the site. I really liked it from top to bottom. The first pick, Will Campbell. Another name that came up with Will Campbell during the cycle for some teams was Zach Martin. Which I was like, okay, that's high. that's the price. Talking not only just about like, okay, he's a tackle. Okay, but maybe he might become a Pro Bowl level guard. That's optimistic about that too. But also just leadership qualities, kind of like changing the locker room culture there or reestablishing that. Henderson as well.
Yeah, all three of their first picks were like effort guys.
Absolutely. And all these guys, like Henderson's a coach's dream. Kyle Williams is one of my favorite picks in the entire draft because I think his play style, explosive play style down the field, it really matches Drake May and also just what he brings. He's not this big ball winner, but he can play on the outside, mm-hmm. which is what they needed more than anything. Someone asked me who he kind of played like, and I was like, smaller Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being lazy there because Diggs is on the roster, but still, Wilson, though, really liked that.
Don't worry, I said it before he was drafted by the Patriots. So you're saying that.
Yes, I know. And then Braden Swinson, I really like from LSU. He made my top 75. Heard he butted heads with some coaches during the draft cycle, but you can draft the good guys, you know, the high character guys early, then you can take these swings on day two. So yeah, top to bottom, really, really like this class. I hate using the term value, especially in a class like this where so many grades were all over the place, but perceived value was really good with where they took everyone, really comfortable, didn't think they had any reaches, thought they got some really nice players as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the Pats.
It was a good starter draft for like where they are
in their
journey with Drake May and Mike Vrabel. So I thought they did a good job just to kick things off for them there.
Charles, what was one of your more favorite draft classes?
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, I'm glad we get to talk about this. Yeah, one. This is fun. Yeah,
that was a fun one. Because it was I wasn't really thinking about it like when they went through it, but as you look back, they went for so many guys with pedigree.
Yeah,
even just looking at the schools: Texas, two Ohio States, Oregon, Michigan, Ole Miss to start the draft. So I like that they went with Walter Nolan.
Yeah.
Just trying to get like big time talents that have real potential to potentially be something. Because you have a bunch of guys there who can play a bunch of different roles, but no, we got a potentially three technique, Walter Nolan. We got a potential CB1 with Will Johnson if his medical shakeout. Jordan Birch was a guy who was highly recruited to Oregon and played all over their defensive line. So I did like this draft just as like a, we need to get sturdy again. We're going to take some big swings and some talent. And I think that they're probably looking at it like we're middle of the pack right now. In terms of all the NFL teams, if we can just get a couple dudes to push us over the top, and I think they took some risks here, but I like them.
They've been punching above their weight with what their roster is, and so now they're going for some big swings. Matt, did you like the Cardinals class?
I did. They were one pick away from the all defense draft too.
They took
Hayden Connor, the offensive lineman out of Texas, in the sixth round. By the way, the Falcons were one pick away from the all defense draft. I knew it was like they're going
to
take
one little offensive lineman.
So almost got that prediction right. I think this is what Arizona needed to do. I wondered if they were going to like if their eyes would stray towards the offensive side just because. You know, it was kind of a middling finish for them, even if there were high highs, but then there were low lows. But to me, I think offensively, you just need a few schematic and maybe deployment tweaks for players, but you needed the talent injection on defense. And I love Walter Nolan, you know, especially because they have Calais Campbell on the roster.
Right.
Like, I think Campbell's really going to push to get – Calais is just a great guy, obviously, a longtime veteran. He's coming back to Arizona.
Long time
veteran. But anyways, yeah, I mean, just him being able to push Walter Nolan, I think, will be pretty big for them. So I like the way you framed it, Charles, like a pedigree draft, yeah. And just, again, just do what they need to do.
With all a lot of B's and B minuses, they were trying to swing for some A's. Nolan was not a guy I linked to the Cardinals, not like from rumors or anything, but just even from like, oh, I like that fit. And now that I've see it, I'm like, oh yeah, I get why you guys did that, because you're trying to get a top five talent in the teens. That's what they're going for. And same with Will Johnson, who everyone agrees is talented. It's just the medicals and then the long speed stuff, but you're taking him in the middle of the second. Yeah, we're okay with whatever little
people mocked him speed. There 16, you know, like
he's been consistently a top 10 top 12 talent to I mean, me, Charles, I think just a lot. Really the concerns are the medicals, like that's really more than anything.
Also in round five they got Denzel Burke from Ohio State,
right,
who up until this year was viewed as a really talented prospect, and then turn into Mr. DPI this year. He literally had one like every single game. Sometimes multiple every single game. So that's why his stock dropped. But if he can get back to before he was Mr. Grabby, this might be a potential starter for them on the outside.
And that's a guy that 2 years ago was like corner one or corner two going into that class. All these Ohio State guys kept coming back. They got a bunch of Ohio State guys. They have Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State.
They Harris love Ohio
Johnson
State.
Jr., yeah. Ohio State. Their offensive line coach is from Ohio State. A lot of Buckeyes on this Arizona Cardinals roster. But there is something to it, talking about the pedigree stuff. So I'm going to get to one of my more favorite classes on top of the Patriots. And actually, both of these were some of my more favorites, so I'm glad we got to talk about them. But I'm going to go with another NFC West team, the Seattle Seahawks. And this is probably because producer Stone twisted my arm on it, but no. I just really like, again, they got guys they needed. I know that sounds obvious, but I figured they needed interior offensive line. I figured that they maybe need another receiver, maybe a project quarterback, maybe a tight end. And it was just check, check, check. Gray Zabel, really liked his game. Think he might start out a guard for them. Great, might be their long-term center. I think he is a true difference maker. And also, I didn't like him just personally for every type of offensive fit. It's kind of funny, him and Tyler Booker, kind of the same discussion there, where it's like, I only like you for certain offenses more than others. And Zabel goes to a Kubiak-Shanahan offense. I'm like, all right, good. We're good there. But Elijah Arroyo, fun little kind of project. E tight end, like big athlete. I also like who else they have on that tight end roster. Noah Fan, we'll see what happens with him after this year, but AJ Barner can do the dirty work. So Arroyo can be that athlete. They want to be in two tight end looks in that same offense. Kind of crazy. We talked about this, but how much pull and sway Kubiak apparently has in that building, because they're all just drafting like guys that fit just for that. So, but Jalen Milroe, I went exactly where I thought he should go. Middle, late third. It's a home run swing. I've seen already the Taysom Hill kind of comparisons come out. Like, he's going to be that kind of gadget do-it-all guy, which, yeah, he can do that. Maybe develop into something else. Torrey Horton, one of my favorite players. I had a top 75 grade on him. Ends up in the fifth. They even got Damian Martinez, which there has to be other stuff on Damian Martinez for him to last to the seventh round. It was one of those where no matter how high – I try to temper my expectations, thinking maybe go round four. The further he goes, I'm like, okay, there's something I don't know about you. But I just think a really talented player. And he's in the seventh round, runs hard. Ricky White, great special teamer, dirty work guy. I like that in the seventh round. So top to bottom, Nick Emanuori is the only one I maybe have a little bit of a question mark on. Maybe a position change to somewhere else, corner or something. But that's the only one that I kind of have I'm squinting at. But I really like this draft class.
Yeah, I think on the Emanuori pick, I'll give Mike McDonald a chance.
Right.
I know.
Yeah. That's... You know, if any other coach had drafted him, I'd probably be slamming it a lot more. Because, look, I think we talked about it on the show the other day. But, man, if you're 6'3", 230, running 4.3, jumping out the gym, why are you not a top 10 pick? Right. And I think that kind of says everything about where his game is right now. But Mike McDonald, he's made more with a lot less than that athletic profile. So we'll give him a chance.
And I think there may be, again, when you go against type of what you have, they have kind of guys that are like above their play above, like Julian Love. Like he's more smart, plays above his athleticism. Mm-hmm. So maybe – again, these are just the theoretical arguments for it that you get a different type of guy in that room.
Well, and hopefully if you surround him with guys who are smart and instinctive, you can hide him a little bit and just like, hey, just
you
go.
You do this.
You go. I like Seattle's draft a lot, and I'm with Charles. My first thought was, okay, we're all skeptical of Emanuori here, but this was maybe the right spot for him. I know other people have made, like I had Trevor Sikkema on the show, and he made the the Kyle Hamilton comparison. I'm not there, but I mean, it's interesting that he, but to do it in the second round instead of the first round, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's like taking a swing for it. They traded into a lot of those spots to get these guys too. And I'll save my thoughts on Torrey Horton for a later segment.
That's great. All right. Now, Matt, let's get to another one that was one of your more favorite classes.
Yeah, this is one maybe Charles and I might disagree with, but I like the Chargers draft. I think they still do need help on the interior. I will acknowledge that right off the bat, the interior of the offensive line. But, you know, I think getting Amarian Hampton where they did was a good move for them because I think he fits the system and they absolutely just needed more out of that run game. We know they want to be a run-heavy offense. They needed just more. I think they needed more consistency, like down-to-down success rate, which I do think in time, Hampton can be that guy. But to start, I think getting Najee Harris helps there. But Najee Harris is going to give you 0.0 explosive ability, which is what Hampton is going to provide you. I also think that I liked Hampton's ability as a receiver when I watched him before the combine. And that is an element that Justin Herbert grew to lean on with Austin Ekeler as the starting running back there. So I think that's a big, just again, I think it checks the box of what the coaching staff wants. I think checks the box of what the quarterback wants. And ultimately, they just needed pop. So the first round pick is nice. Trey Harris is, I couldn't think of a better receiver of what they need, especially because what I love about him going to LA is that they have Mike Williams there. Like Mike Williams is not for long, right? We know that.
The shadow of Mike Williams.
The shadow of Mike Williams. But while Harris, who is going to need some ramp up time coming from that Ole Miss offense and the fact that over 40% of his routes were go and curl, he's going to need some time. He's going to need some, you know, development. They have Mike Williams there to kind of bring him along slowly in September so that maybe by October, November, he's ramped up to be a little bit more of what they need come hopefully playoff time. He's like, all right, now he's running more of a full and complete route tree. So I like that pick there. Jamari Caldwell's like the beef they need in the interior. And I also really liked their fifth round wide receiver pick, Keandre Lambert Smith. Very different type of receiver. He was one of my favorite like day three guys that I thought he was going to go day three. I liked other guys who ended up going on day three better than him, but he brings some speed. Like if you look at his route chart, all the deep routes are green. So he'll bring some ability to take the top off, more of like a move around guy. So I think offensively, they took the right bets here. And then they took a couple guys like RJ Mickens and then the kid from Florida in the third day of the draft, which is just kind of classic what I think they do.
How many receivers did you chart this year?
26. And yeah, honestly, like Ricky White was one that I wish I had gotten to. Yep. There was a few that
he's
went
a teamer.
Like, yeah, okay. All right, that makes you feel a little better. There was a few going off the board in the fourth round. Where I was like, uh-oh. Like,
I want to talk about a couple later because it's like there's a couple I was like, man, I – watched a game or two of that guy, but I was so comfortable saying day three. Like, I didn't have to worry about you.
I saw Hayden Winks post that, like, the two guys to fade that were, rumored like day two guys were Elik Eomanner and Jalen Royals. And I agreed with that. I thought those were fourth round players. They ended up going on day three, but it seemed like because they both have big flaws, but big flaws. But before those guys were coming off the board, the NFL seemed to just be, as Hayden said, like sorting by speed. Like these guys who just ran fast 40s were like, oh, we'll take those in the fourth round. And there was a couple of mighty were not on my radar.
Absolutely. What'd you think about this draft class, the Chargers?
It's like a team that wants to play a meat and potato style of football, but they got candy for dinner is kind of how I look at this draft. I don't know. I think that in a vacuum, Hampton, Chargers, sick player, team that wants to run the football, but a team that can't run the football. And I don't think that this is the player that fixes this for them. The Trey Harris pick, I was a little, I don't know, that I could see him just kind of becoming a ghost in that offense where you're just kind of a sacrificial ex. I get a little confused with Harris because I don't think he's actually that fast. And
he didn't time fast.
Yeah, he didn't time fast.
And when you look at the Ole Miss offense, there's so much space that I think people who aren't that fast, like Jalen Hyatt in the Tennessee offense, he's running like mid 4.4s and we're talking about like he's a deep threat. But when you have that much space, you can become one. But that space is not available in the NFL. So I just get a little bit confused on where they think they are. If they got a little bit overzealous with maybe how they got to the playoffs last year and they didn't really have much introspection on how they lost that game. Because for Marion Hampton, you add him to that roster, you're still losing 40 to whatever you did in that game because you can't block and you're too reliant on Justin Herbert. And now you've added a raw receiver with Ladd McConkey. I just don't really see how much they've changed. Mm. Yeah. And I don't think that that's good enough.
I will say on Harris's speed, because I'm with you that I was a little surprised as he was billed as a deep threat that he ran a 4.5, and I'd only worked like two games on him before the combine, so I didn't have like a bullish take on how fast he was. But actually the fact that he's not that fast is, and he's still a useful deep receiver, is kind of what I liked about him, because I think he shows like, and it's flashes, right? So he still needs to develop, but I think he does have some pretty good abilities to like actually stack and time these routes so that he can get that little separation as a go route runner, a post route runner. But there's no doubt that he could be a little bit sacrificial to start, but I'm hoping by like year two he could be more of a real deal X receiver.
Greg Roman is the guy who's going to develop him. It's a little dicey.
The Ravens had a lot of success developing receivers. Yeah, sure, right? Did. Yeah, yeah.
That is a fair retort.
Before that,
yeah, they missed like every single wide receiver pick for like two decades.
Yeah,
no, fair point.
I was pretty harsh on the Chargers grade. I gave him a C, and it was I do like the Hampton pick. It's like one of those. I'm kind of like reiterating what Charles said here. Where I like it, but then I thought, okay, here comes the line picks. Here comes the beef picks. Okay, wait, no, here comes the, like, I just kept waiting for him to take offensive line because I thought that was where they should be going in this draft. So it's one of those where it's like, maybe I'm bitter about that, so I'm not knocking him down. But still, the Harris discussion is something I'm trying to figure out too. It's like that I wish him and Quentin Johnson could just become one player. Johnson's the horizontal guy, Harris is the vertical intermediate guy, but with Harris is that I do think his transition will be smooth. This was my bullish take on it because, all he runs is goes, posts, and curls. In this offense, there's a lot of goes and posts because of all the play action stuff. So, and overs, which I think over routes, which are the kind of like the more, things working across the formation, those are the ones I actually am bullish about with Harris because of his catching range and everything. So kind of in between you guys, Caldwell, I think Tierra Tart was a great stopgap guy for him, still is. But, they're trying to build up the spine of the defense because it's just how they want to play. Mm-hmm. So it's ones like I understand what they're trying to do, just ended up not really liking some of the other spots where I thought they should fill out. I did like Gadsden too from Syracuse, the tight end. Fun little project he tight end, kind of like a hybrid receiver tight end that they got on day three. Get a little more it's speed kind of in the offense.
It fell a year early for them this draft.
This felt like the cherry on top draft as opposed to the, I think they should have been still. Like,
dog, you got your butt kicked the last time we saw you. That game was not remotely competitive.
Right.
But I think part of that is they didn't have any explosive players outside of one guy.
And they still can't block.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that.
Still like Hampton a lot. He was still running back two for me. All right, now moving on. What was your next class that you liked, Charles?
Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is the one lucid part of Jerry's brain that you still got, man. The draft day, he still got it. He still got it.
Well, that's because he sticks to his board.
Yeah.
He's got BPA.
He just sticks to the consensus board. Just Google that thing.
Great. It's funny because like they actually really just let the draft fall to them and just work it how they work it. Tyler Booker pick, I don't know if I saw it coming, but it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Jerry and the Cowboys, they got to have first round picks up front. That's just what they do. So they've spent
they got three dudes named Tyler.
I know. All first round picks. All first round picks. When I was working on the grades yesterday, I was like, Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker.
One of them has to be something else, like Taylor or something.
I was like, am I right on this? They're all Tyler. But, dude, this is a big-ass offensive line, man. And now I think they've talked a little bit about Tyler Smith potentially playing left tackle.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens with that. Because I do think if you look at the Terrence Steele contract, you'll see 5 for $88. Man, there's nothing in there. No. So if they want to move.
I think they could have gotten out of it after this year.
They could have gotten out of it.
I remember,
They could have gotten out of it basically the year after they signed him.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at that, it gives you some flexibility because if you're going to Tyler Smith left tackle, Guyton's going to right tackle, maybe that fits him a little bit better, but you've added so much pedigree to this offense. And I really hope that Guyton can figure out a left tackle because Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, Cooper Beebe, interior, I would not want to be a linebacker in front of those guys because mean, nasty, big, physical. Then you get Donovan Isaraku in the second round. Yep. Savon Revel Jr. in the third round. Those are two guys that could end up being starters. Mm-hmm. And you talk about on the show, if you already have a Micah Parsons, adding someone like Donovan is perfect because he's going to get a lot of cleanup sacks, a lot of effort sacks. And he does have athleticism to improve, on that timeline. So like a Harold Landry level pass rusher next to Micah Parsons is a lot of fun. With a CB1 potential in Revel if he can get healthy and stay on the track he's supposed to. I just thought this was another good draft that's going to keep the Cowboys relevant. Maybe not what they needed to get all the way over the top, but, you know, when you're picking top 12, you got a lot of problems. But I think this was a good just first step to get them back to being the team they want to be.
Yeah. Matt, what did you think of the Cowboys class?
I liked it. I think it's going to be framed a lot about what they didn't do, which is unfortunate because I think what they did do, especially in the first three rounds, is really nice. But I think a lot of Cowboys fans are coming out of it like, where's the wide receiver help? We only took a running back.
Just
in the
one more receiver.
You
guys said Matthew Golden.
You guys said Matthew Golden. Yeah, which, I mean, the Matthew Golden thing is pretty funny that was just such a popular mock. And then he like went literally 12 spots later.
I think
than
the Cowboys
12.
Pick was in first like 30 seconds. Like,
They sprinted there. And I mean, shout out to Jane Slater, who said like the morning of the draft, Booker was one of the guys they were on. And yeah, it was not something that I saw coming either, Charles. But I like the first three picks. But again, it's going to be framed a lot in like what they didn't do. Jaden Blue, the running back in the fifth round, definitely an explosive player. He's fun and like somebody's got to run behind that big ass offensive line. I don't think it's gonna be Miles Sanders or Javonte Williams, so he's certainly somebody to keep an eye on. And just the receiver question, they didn't take anybody there. I joked like, who's gonna send the U-up text first, Amari Cooper to the Cowboys or the Cowboys to Amari Cooper? I know that relationship did not end well, but desperate times. Sometimes you send that U-up text. I feel like that might be something they need to consider. But otherwise, I think this is a great draft, and I wouldn't worry too much about what they didn't do. I'd focus on what they did do.
Yeah, I like this class too. And we brought up the Clayton Adams point on the show too. Oh, yeah. And it's like that. So Booker makes even more sense with Schottenheimer's offense. Clayton Adams, new OC / run game. I don't think he got the title run game corner, but he's in charge of the run game. But no, Booker, all that beef, everything you guys mentioned. I actually really like Blue. Like him and Achane for the Dolphins are similar, very speedy, but they do the running back things well as far as like vision and tempo. He's just, you know, .188, .190. He has fumble issues, but he's going to hit some home runs this year because he has some real vision behind this beefy offensive line. People aren't going to be able to see him.
Listen, if they can scam Devon Achane fantasy production in Miami's offense with a light offensive line, they can do it in this offense with those big boys.
Savon Rivel, I thought I would have been comfortable with him in top 30. Yeah. I understand the concerns with some of the medical stuff, smaller scope, but he's got so much ability. Really like that, especially looking at their corner room. So, like the Cowboys draft class as well. I'll give you my last favorite one. Oh, actually, we had a question from Chase Daniel Plainview. Great name. Matt.
The Chase Daniel?
No, his name is Daniel Plainfield, which I also like. I drink your milkshake. So how is – that's a question for you. How is Amarian Hampton in pass pro?
Oh, was the running back pass pro expert, let me tell you. I think he's pretty good. He's good. Yeah. I think he's pretty good. He's not quite in the level of like Travion Henderson, but I mean, he gives you a lot of effort, a lot of pop. I think he can work on a couple of the attack methods of it, but otherwise I think he's got a pretty good punch, and that's something that's going to be critical for. Again, Herbert relied pretty well on, and I know Austin Eckler took a lot of pride in his pass protection ability despite being a smaller guy. So I think, again, that's something Herbert really counts on. So that's going to – and I think Najee Harris is like a whatever pass protector. So that's going to get him on the field pretty early.
Warren was always better than him in Pittsburgh.
100%.
No, I think he's above board. Already shows that he's good enough and he has size. And so I think –
Just a little work and development normal stuff.
The fact if you're adequate – coming in, that's a huge, high baseline. There's, it's very rare a guy is actually good like Henderson is. So, all right, I'll get to my last one that I like, the draft class I like. That is the Las Vegas Raiders. I something about this class, man. All right, Ashton Jeanty, I figured it makes a lot more sense because of who they have. Pete Carroll, we talked about it a lot on our show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the offense. And then even just how they moved on, like Darian Porter, the corner, was one of those. I know Charles is a favorite of yours, but he makes a lot of sense in the Pete Carroll defense. Like that similarities to Richard Sherman, narratively, size-wise, he loves these big, long corners that that they can work with and toolsy. Also, awesome special teamer. And then I think maybe the double dip they took at tackle is what's firing me up more than anything. Because I think in the moment it was fun, like going like, well, they go project the tackle, they might go this guy, and they end up taking two of the like four guys I was thinking of, Caleb Rogers and then Charles Grant. Both of them are the same archetype. Big dancing bears that are raw, working on technique stuff, maybe some strength stuff to add as well, but both are just very good athletes. And that's those are the swings you take, and might as well take two of them. So I like that with some of the moves they made to get those picks as well. And then even on the, at the tail end of the draft, Tommy Mellott from Montana State is just a fun player.
Yeah, right.
just a fun weapon. So Chip Kelly, most coaches, I'd be like, all right, getting these gadgety tweener guys. And I always want to say Jack Beck, but from TCU, getting these kind of tweeners for Chip Kelly as well, like work. Like he actually can make the most of these guys that are hybrid type players, the Jordan Matthews of the world. So I like it here for the Raiders. So yeah, I thought this was a great draft class for the Raiders. I ended up giving them a B+, but one of my favorites. What'd you guys think though?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say anything nice. Well, I'll say something nice about Fitz's team now that he's not here. Yeah, I think the Raiders did a really good job in the draft. Ashton Gentry, right? I mean, you can argue like, all right, is it the right value to take a running back 6 when you got all these other needs? But then they did the smart thing and kept trading back and acquiring more picks 4 on the second day to fill some of those other needs. And look, if you're going to take Jack Besh in the second round, I'm going to give you an A freaking plus, baby. No, I mean, I think he's going to catch 80 passes in this offense. In year one, he's going to be super productive. He's exactly what they need. And yeah, I love some of the two offensive linemen back to back. That was like the cherry on top.
It was. Yeah. Get ready to learn mesh, buddy.
He's
going to be a monster on mesh.
I mean, all three of these guys, Myers, Bowers and Geno's the right quarterback to distribute the ball like with timing, touch, and accuracy.
They call it the golden triangle, the black triangle. Black and silver triangle. Charles, what did you think of the Raiders one? This was kind of solid.
It was solid. You know, I was a little concerned with the Gentry pick at first because it felt like a luxury pick that maybe they weren't ready for. But I think they did a good job to at least get some prospects in there that have a chance to develop on the offensive line. Because, you know, sometimes you take guys on the offensive line that exist, but there's no like real developmental outcome for them to be something. But I think with those guys they drafted, they have a chance to actually be starters.
The baseline's not bad. They're not just pure projects. It's more developmental as opposed to project. I think maybe that's the best way to put it. All right. Well, those were our favorite classes. The YouTube chat's favorite class was the Patriots. Taking home 43% of the vote. So, hey, a little consensus there. Way to go there. Yeah, Patriots did a great job. Now, we're going to go to the flip side. We're going to go to some of our least favorite draft classes. Matt, you get the bat lead off on the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the Vikings were not one of my favorites, which is a little unfair because they have like 5 picks. Yeah. So
I know.
But Donovan Jackson, I thought was okay where they took him in the first round. I think you guys are pretty high on Jackson. I think he's good. Looks like a good guard. I think they are definitely clearly sending a signal. They want to run the ball a lot better than they did last year. And I think they've also, with the two guys they brought in from the Colts, Ryan Kelly and Will Fries, like they've got some size in there. They want to run more power stuff. So I didn't have too big of a problem with that. I thought Ty Felton in the third round, which I know it's like almost a fourth round pick. Who cares? But I thought that was rich and honestly felt a little like luxury-ish.
And also, maybe I just have a vision of what their offense is. It was like, I didn't think you guys needed that.
Yeah. I think he's basically like,
how many targets does he get?
I don't know, like 40, maybe? Honestly, I was talking about this with James Coe yesterday. I was like, he feels, and we mentioned this on the live show a little bit, he feels like at best, like an upgrade on Brandon Powell, who's been like a little pet favorite of this coaching tree. So I guess.
Jalen Naylor.
Naylor is a guy who, I mean, some people really love his route running. I won't sit here and pretend I've studied Jalen Naylor in depth.
He's just unreliable, like as far as some of the stuff. But yeah, keep
going. But some people love the separation ability for him, which I think Ty Felton shows you a little bit of that too. So again, maybe that's the long-term replacement for Jalen Naylor, but I don't know. I just didn't think they really needed a third receiver. And that was really their one last pick to make to make an impact. And I still think they need things on defense. They need a couple of toys on that side of the ball. I mean, even the guys that they brought in on the interior, Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave, like those guys are – it's a good idea. I like the idea of it, but they're older players and are not coming off their best seasons, right? So, like, I just – again, it's hard to slam them too much. They didn't have that many picks, but the Felton thing I thought was just maybe a little bit misguided.
Yeah, I think I almost put the Vikings here, but I was just like, just wasn't the juice to squeeze. But Donovan Jackson was a good pick.
It was. I also think
they're looking at last year and they're seeing some of the injuries they had. Mm-hmm. Donovan Jackson did play his left tackle last year.
That's a good point.
Josh Simmons got hurt. So I do think the versatility there makes sense, especially with some of the injuries. And then, hey, this draft is being graded on last year because they traded basically all this draft to get McCarthy and Turner. So We'll see.
Yeah.
But a bunch of fifth round picks. I hope so.
Yeah. I did like the Jackson pick, but I believe you gave him a C, right, Charles? Like overall. And that's kind of how it is. It's like if they maybe had one more day two pick, that was like, okay, this is it's a weird answer, but I agree with it. Like I kind of was underwhelmed. But then you look at it and you're like, maybe it's just because that third round pick wasn't what I thought they needed.
I know really that it's just, easy that to say the air this out of the sails. In hindsight, but definitely if I mean, there were a couple trade down spots in the first round. They were a team I really thought. It's easier to say that without knowing if there was a dance partner. But two teams did trade down in the first round. I thought they would have been a good one to get out of there too.
Do you like Jackson?
Jackson's a nice pick.
Jackson's a nice pick. We all agree that.
And they beat like the interior rush, which happened on the second.
And it seemed like right after them, everyone was like, "Oh, that's the guy we wanted." Because then that's the next two teams moved back as well. All right, Charles, what was one of your least favorite draft classes?
Ooh, Falcons.
Yeah.
Hanging curve. Take the layup.
Hanging curve. Just went 470.
Look, they spent a future first round pick to take someone at 26, like.
An edge player at 26.
But I just think even if you're trading a first round pick to get in at the bottom of the first round, that's crazy. That's like there's just not enough value there. Like you're spending two picks. You're spending basically two first round picks on what is almost a second round pick, which is ridiculous.
Going into a season with a new quarterback, which we're optimistic about. But you just never know.
He's going to be Mahomes. That's what they think.
They're never picking high again.
They think they did Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes last year. So we'll see. Not even close. Not close yet. Still got
50-50 on that one.
Still got a ways to go. Still got a ways to go on that one. But they draft Jalen Walker, James Pierce. The Jalen Walker pick was fine.
Yeah.
James Pierce trade up was crazy. Yeah. Although I do think like the range was okay for him. You know, late first round, early second round. I thought that was fine.
It was the process.
The process to get there was abysmal.
Yeah.
And then you add two safeties in the draft, which I was cool with the Xavier Watts trade up. But at some point, you know, I'm waiting. Where's the defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Where is the defensive tackle? We need one so badly. Yeah. Because you cut Grady Jarrett. You probably could have kept him, honestly, if you cut David Onyemata, but they really like David Onyemata for whatever reason, even though whatever diminished form Grady Jarrett is a lot better than where David Onyemata is right now. You re-signed Taquan Graham, who was a former fifth-round pick a few years ago. You needed someone, and they're just so light up front. They're so light up front, and I think, like, I kind of view this like the Chargers draft. You know, you needed the meat and potatoes draft. And you ate candy for dinner.
Yeah.
Mm. Like you have two edge rushers who are sub 250. Xavier Watts, who is a, you know, rangy safety, maybe not most athletically gifted the guy, but to trade up for him, dip into more picks for next year. And then you ask Billy Bowman, but you already had Jesse Bates and Watts. Like how necessary was the Billy Bowman pick when you needed a defensive tackle? I don't know. I see people getting excited, but they're going to give up like 200 rushing yards a game.
Oh my God, that's that was the thing.
You can't even get the third down.
Yes, you need sacks. We all make jokes. Ever since John Abraham hasn't been there, the one Vic Beasley year, and then it was like, okay, now you got some speed rushers, but at what cost?
Right.
What cost? And so, as teams are getting bigger on the O-line and everyone's pounding. And we talked about, look at their division.
And their division is so tough.
they're going to get mauled.
Especially Tampa Bay and Carolina. I do think New Orleans is going to have a pretty good run game, too. It's just that stuff.
I just don't get what they're looking at with this roster when they make these decisions. I'm like, are you – no fear, really, of looking, like you said, in the division. Tampa Bay's got one of the best offensive lines in football. The Saints just drafted Kelvin Banks, and they always have a sturdy guys up front. The Panthers, we talked about their offensive line last year.
Panthers had a great draft, too.
You did nothing.
I did like the Panthers.
You did nothing to protect yourself this year, and I think that that's crazy because, obviously, Terry's in the hot seat with how many picks he traded.
Josh Kendall from The Athletic kind of spelled it out. He was like, it seems like they weren't expecting Jalen Walker to be there. They took him, and we were all in agreement on draft night. We're like, good job. Yeah. That makes sense. Good. And then they're like, but we really like James Pierce.
See, this is
we really like him. Oh, okay. Let's go get him.
The Falcons, I said this to you guys when we were walking back to the hotel maybe it was Thursday night, I think. The Falcons, now that they have like Raheem Morris in there and Zach Robinson's offensive coordinator, they pitched themselves all last year as like, no, we're a smart thoughtful Rams organization, but then they still got Terry Fontenot and they're behaving like the Saints.
He's
like,
clueless, just, dude. He's clueless.
It's crazy. And like, they're the epitome of a team that drives me nuts that all year long, GMs are like, we got to acquire draft picks. We love having draft picks. And then on draft day, it's like, oh, yeah, just take this one. I got to have this guy. I got to have this guy. They get like so hyper-focused, and I feel like they did that multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going with one of mine. Charles gave that a C- for the draft grade, what, the lowest one in that division, just like we said. And we had polls for this. Is Mr. Vertz overreacting about the Falcons draft? And the two answers, yes, the trade was fine. Trade was fine, which was 7%. And no, it was bad, which got 93%. So we are agreed about
you,
that one.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're not too harsh.
Next year, when I'm sitting here pouting because the Falcons have traded the 10th overall pick to the Rams, remember this poll.
And the Rams are taking, you know, like Garrett Nussmeier or something like that for their succession plan. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going with my least favorite one. And this did feel harsh, but like it's the Cincinnati Bengals. I gave them a C, and it's not totally what they went after. It's just I struggle with the timeline of the players they selected and the timeline I thought that they were on. Mm-hmm. They went for some kind of what I would call developmental toolsy guys at spots that they need players. Not saying that they did not address their needs, which was, you know, pass rush, defensive line, the spine of their defense, and offensive guard. But Shamar Stewart, if it hits, it hits. But it's not, if Trey Hendrickson's there, maybe like this a little better, we have to guarantee that he's still back. But he is a project. He really is. Did he even just get to be what we think he could possibly be? They took him at 17. He felt more comfortable for a team for me that's like already has a good defense. All right, now we just take like a real splurge pick here as opposed to like, we need dudes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the project that has 4.5 career sacks in college. Ah, that's just a little scary for me. Same with Dylan Fairchild. Like the player. This is another one of those Georgia interior linemen, a guard, former wrestler and everything. But for the Bengals, not so much because he needs more development and more polish. He's kind of all over the place. If you can hone it in, you really see his wrestling background. And I mean, as a compliment and derogatory, is because he wrestles with guys and torques them. And it's like, no, you're a good enough athlete. You don't have to do that. In the NFL, you can't torque guys. They're going to call it.
Right.
So like that's another guy that if it's the Eagles taking him, oh, yeah, yeah, Jeff Stoutland, chill out.
Right.
And I know that's not fair, but you kind of have to be self-aware of what you have and what you are. So those picks, they address the linebacker spots in Knight, Demetrius Knight, Barrett Carter. I just maybe wasn't as high on both of those guys. And so, yes, you got more bodies at the position. They need them. You built through the spine. It's just one of those where I just was a little underwhelmed. I feel like they did try to check the boxes, but how they did it was weird to me. But am I a little harsh here, or do you guys agree?
It's a very volatile draft.
Yeah. If it hits, don't get me wrong. There is upside here. But
there's a lot of upside. There's a lot of downside, too.
But yes. Yeah. It's pure upside.
You are existing in, like, space after this draft.
Yeah.
Because the first three picks, I think Stewart, Knight, Fairchild, they're all ideas right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a team that is trying to get back into the Super Bowl race, maybe these are the upside bets they felt like they need to take, but a little more sure. And I know it's the NFL draft. Nothing's actually sure.
Right.
But, you know,
but it's
Shamar Stewart, 4 sacks in college. Demetrius Knight, that was a project linebacker to me. I was kind of surprised they went in the second round. And also Dylan Fairchild, that's another project like offensive lineman for the Bengals. So I don't think they got sturdy enough when you're still kind of playing like a, you know, one of those old Big 12 teams, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go out and score a million points. We're going to give up a million points. And I feel like they're still in the same exact
boat. You guys play craps, like, and the odds are our best bet is the, you know, odds beyond the pass line. It felt like they bet a lot of like yos and hard ways, like hard six, hard eight. It's like, okay, yeah, those hit sometimes, but I wouldn't like really want to be betting my money, my Joe Burrow money on that.
Right.
Matt, what did you think of the Bengals draft?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way that you guys did. It was funny that there was an idea that they were going to be one of those teams that had to go all defense, right, just because of the narrative around their team. The thing is, though, they did take a couple of stabs at the interior offensive line. They took Jalen Rivers, who was like a left tackle, left guard, yard later on too, which they had to do because their interior stinks. Like that's a big problem. They also took a running back in the sixth round, Taj
which
Brooks.
I actually like that.
And this was on my radar too. They needed to take a back at some point.
Yeah.
So that was another thing too, is they didn't have that many picks and they had a lot of needs. So it was kind of hard for them to come out of this draft feeling like, all right, yep, we got enough guys in here to fix the defense, especially if they're developmental. And then, okay, well, we got to have some guys in the option on the interior, but you got kind of a guy who played left tackle and left guard in college in Jalen Rivers. And if he's a guard, he's like a tall ass guard, of course, that's their thing. But then the Fairchild pick is tough because he's a developmental guy as well.
All right, Matt, what was another draft class that you were not particularly fond of?
I'm not all that jazzed up about the Dolphins drafts for a couple of reasons. And I think like the Kenneth Grant pick is okay. I don't hate the Kenneth Grant pick.
I came around on it.
Yeah, it's fine. But I don't think he's like just a clear cut, obvious projection as just we just drop him in immediately and he's an above average or like even an advantage as a run defender. I think there's a chance like there needs to be some seasoning and some growth there, which okay, I think what they're fixated on the fact that they lost Christian Wilkins and they felt not having him last year, which you felt having not having him last year because you have like you have such a dearth of good cheap players on this roster, and that wasn't then that compounds the fact they had to trade up for I'm not even gonna try to say his name, but the Arizona guard in the
Joe
second
Sava, know you.
Thank you. The Arizona guard in the second round, which they had to do because oh shoot, we can't miss the offensive guard run, which we had to do because we didn't take offensive line in the first round. Right. Like you should have, in my opinion, it would have been better to reach and start the run as opposed to come back. Like have to give assets up to come back on the run because you don't have that many picks to begin with, you don't, especially on the second day. So you end up only making a second round pick in the guard there, which again, fine, you needed him. Mm-hmm. But I think that might have been a little bit rich from where he was projected to go. And they took a running back, which of course they took a freaking running back. Like the one place that they do
against
have
actually, type running
I was going to say, I will give them credit that they took a guy who was ran a 4.6. Like, okay, because I was expecting just taking another fast running back. And then they, you know, probably lit a pick on fire with Quinn Ewers. So, I mean, it just, to me, the real damning thing was the process of taking Grant, missing the offensive line run, and then having to come back up when you need cheap players because you got these expensive vets who are probably past their prime. I was skeptical of what the Dolphins were coming to this draft. I remain, and maybe I'm even more skeptical now coming out of it.
Charles, have you figured out what the Dolphins are yet?
They're trying to be tough.
Right. That's what this felt like.
They're in the mirror, like, puffing their chest out.
I'm tough I'm guy. Big. I'm a tough guy.
I'm strong. Yeah. I have Kenneth Grant.
Have you hung out with people from South Florida?
Yeah.
Love you guys. 305.
Yeah. It was okay to me. You know, I think when you look back at their draft, they clearly felt like they need to get tougher.
Yeah.
So you draft Kenneth Grant, Jordan Phillips, Savino. Yeah. And then Ollie Gordon. That's four picks. We got to get a lot tougher than we were last year. I don't know how I feel about where they got them. I do think they have like an okay haul of players, but the Kenneth Grant pick at 13 was a little surprising, even though I do like him as a player. Just don't know if they got enough juice here to actually get where they want to go. But got to give a shout out, Dante Trader Jr. Another Sterling alum of Begona School, pride of Baltimore County, Maryland, baby.
There we go. Well, that's something. The Ollie Gordon thing is just, I don't want to slam him for a sixth round running back, but it just at some point, like, okay, you need players to work. And if he hits, okay, then Jalen Wright probably didn't work from last year. And that's the thing. Like, by the way, guys,
did they move up for Wright?
I think yes, they did.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Why don't you have I wonder where that third rounder went. Oh, wait, it went to the running back that we took last year who, I don't know, like
they barely used.
And again, it's just like, look across the country where you came from in San Francisco.
Yeah.
They keep just like, wow, we got to take a running back, right? So, and just that has landed them in problems. It's landed this team in similar problems. And oh, by the way, they haven't been to any Super Bowls lately, which the 49ers can at least say they have.
Well, Grant, I actually ended up liking in this front. And it was like, okay. We didn't picture him with you guys, but I can see what you're trying to do here. That front might be awesome.
Yeah.
if everyone's healthy, well, which is the if with the Miami Dolphins. If spelled I-P-H. But no, and then I'll just call him Jonah from Arizona. It's that he's a good athlete. He's big. He played tackle. Still, but again, it's one of these where it's like he needs work.
Yeah.
And I do not trust the Dolphins to develop these guys. So I gave him a B minus overall because I understand those two picks. And I actually ended up liking the Gordon pick just because it's against type. You guys have gone speed, speed, speed. You guys suck in short yardage. All right, maybe we get a guy that can get those short yards, even if I wasn't super high on him. All right, Charles, what? Oh, actually, Jaws from the chat said, figured yours would have gone higher or come out a year earlier. This is probably where he should have gone.
Yeah. Now he should have gone back to school and got some NIL money.
Yeah, right. And also, it's telling that Texas was like, they made a run with him. And they're like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Okay,
see ya. I do think the Quinn Ewers pick is interesting just from like a future tracking perspective. It's like, bro, if you're – he had an offer from Miami to go get a lot more money than he's making. But
who
took it?
Carson Beck,
right?
Who did the good advice.
Yes. But Carson Beck's going to make a lot more money than Quinn Ewers is this year. And I do wonder if this is like an inflection point. Like, do you just go back to school and get some NIL cash and like set yourself up for more practical life afterwards? Or do you chase a dream and get drafted in the seventh round for a team that's never going
to
play you?
You need money to fund those insurance agencies. So I know. All right, Charles, what was another draft class that you were not fond of?
The 49ers. I thought they started off so well. The Michael Williams pick, loved it. Perfect what you needed. Need to get stronger. Need to get more physical against the run, right? Because that's part of where they've fallen off. They have not been as stout as they used to be. You go get Alfred Collins in the second round. That was a little rich, but I understand the thought process, right? Yep. Another big guy. We're going to try and defend the run. Then they did their third round thing that they do, which is like, third round
thing. That's the Kyle round, it feels like.
Yes, we're third to fourth always.
You go out and you get beef the first two picks. Yep. And then you draft two of the smallest defenders in the draft in the third round with Nick Martin, the linebacker from Oklahoma State, and then Upton Stout, a cornerback from Western Kentucky. These were two guys we had on the All-Juice team. We got seventh round projections for them.
Stout was the first guy drafted that I was like, I have no notes on this guy.
Yes. He's 5'8", 180-pound corner. Nick Martin at his, his playing weight is probably like 5'10", 215. You are adding so much stress for the guys you just drafted right before this to the point where, like, you could negate them if these are guys that are going to play early for you, which as top 100 picks, they are slated to play early. So, It made me almost like what they did early less because now you're like, they tainted it because Michael Williams and Alfred Collins, like, they're going to play big roles in this defense as rookies based on the draft status, based on needs for the 49ers. And now you are adding a lot of stress to their jobs by adding players who are going to get just demolished by NFL players. Once they get going. So that was just a little bit bizarre to me. Yeah. I actually did like the CJ West pick round four, but
yeah, I did like that one too.
Those round three picks really tainted this draft for me.
Yeah. I loved how they started the ideas of them. Collins was my favorite player in the world, but I get where they took him, what they're getting, why they are taking him as well. Mykel Williams, though, I'll talk more about that draft pick in a little bit, but I really like that one. But I'm with you guys. They did their thing.
Yes.
they did the 49ers thing. And sometimes they are some of the best day three drafters. Like, so some of these day three guys are more live for them than others. And I think they have to be too, because there's so much roster turnover with the 49ers. They are truly revamping this whole roster. And have to add this, Adam Schefter comes out, Malik Mustafa, their safety. Oh, yeah, he's a torn ACL.
Yeah, where was that?
What?
So he tore like 4 months ago.
What? At the end of the season?
Yeah, I guess. Like, no one has leaked that at all. No one said he's crazy. Hurt.
Yeah. Like literally the draft ends and we find that out. That's
bizarre. Yeah, and I thought it was like an old tweet that someone was retweeting. And I'm like, and I was like, no, that was posted a minute ago. Like,
in case you missed it. Oh, yeah, we all missed it.
Yeah. So also have to mention that. So not the greatest weekend maybe for San Francisco. Lou from the chat said, I love the beef up front the 49ers got and literally nothing else. It was a weird draft clash for them.
Pretty much.
Too long, didn't read right there.
Sounds about right.
I'm going to go with one of my least favorite draft classes. And this might be more of my own little biases coming in here, is that the Denver Broncos, I end up giving them a C+. Understand what they did. I just liked other players at the spots they took them. Barron in the first round, came around on this. Maybe it was just so, I was so predisposed. They're taking a running back there.
Yeah.
Maybe a tight end, but those guys went, or maybe even a receiver if that was there. But, you know, they go with Barron. Okay, make the strength of strength. I think that DB room is going to be awesome. That whole defense is going to be so much fun. Already one of my favorites in the league, and they just added Barron and added Dre Greenlaw. Speaking of 49ers, Hufanga and Greenlaw. And I just think that that was kind of a weakness for them, was targets to the slot. And so, okay, let's just get the maybe the best corner trio in the league now. And he's versatile, yada, yada. Just love, I really like that pick. Okay, starting as like, I'd say that was an A minus. Mm-hmm. All right, we devolve from there. Because the other guys they took, I figured they would take a running back. I figured they would take a running back early. Maybe it's just I'm not high on RJ Harvey. And I'm not. And I said this on the show. He was kind of the bottom of my kind of day two tier. But I just thought that they had other options there that make sense. Maybe even wait a little bit longer. But again, they had to make kind of a splash at that position. Harvey is solid. He's a plenty fine player. I just liked others better. So again, it's not the worst pick. It's just my own preference. And the same with Pat Bryant. That was another one where I thought, again, you mentioned on the show, oh yeah, of course Sean Payton takes this guy.
Yeah.
Just a big receiver. And I get that. And I get that there's not a ton of, you know, big receivers in that point of the draft. Just felt rich because I just thought there's other better options there, maybe with that they could have added to their receiver room. So again, and same with Savion Jones, that I just thought that there's maybe other guys, maybe just a tad rich. Don't hate any of these particular, you know, it's just that I preferred other guys at these spots. So that's how I ended up with the Broncos. Am I being a little too harsh on them, Matt?
Well, I mean, every fantasy player is going to hope you're wrong about the RJ Harvey.
He's going to be productive. Yeah.
He's going to get so much yeah. steam that it actually makes me a little nervous, like how high he's going to fly and if he can actually be a full-time back. Cause it's funny. You mentioned like I think you said this on the draft show that he has all these great broken tackle numbers. Cause he seeks out contact, yes. which is exactly what Javonte Williams did.
Yes.
And he's replacing Javonte Williams. Now he's replacing, he was replacing a diminished version mm-hmm. Of it. But it all feels like a Sean Payton heat check because there was he in his post-draft presser basically said, like, I went into it in love with Genty, but realizing we probably weren't going to like get him. So I had to fall in love with another back. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. And he fell in love with RJ Harvey. So they took him probably a round and a half ahead of where he was going to go. And Pat Bryant, man, like, It's I want to hold out hope for him because it's very Sean Payton coded wide receiver, but he offers you absolutely nothing down the field. Like I charted three games for him, 27.8% success rate on the 9 route. Oof. That is a horrible.
On the nine route, and he
runs a 4.6. So I mean, like it makes sense.
We say compliments sometimes. Oh, it's now 50-50 ball. It's 75-25.
Yeah,
he's the flip side. Like it's a 25-75. Yeah.
So no separation there. So he, but basically, like he's they're hoping from a route chart perspective. There's some good signs here that he can be a zone beater, and I comped him to Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
But that's basically the role they had Devon Vele playing last year. And that's like,
so, that's why he was like,
yeah,
really?
Okay. I hate it where it's like, well, you're kind of like, screwing one of your young players yeah. here.
You already found cheap talent, but okay, let's
get a better version.
Yeah, a better cheap talent. Yeah. I know. And it's not a huge upgrade, so we'll see it as much for that. James from the chat says, you don't love the punter pick? I'm actually okay drafting those 6th, 7th round punters.
Kickers are not, but punters are
really yeah, good cool. now too. All these odds coming in the league.
This is funny.
All right, we're gonna wrap up the show with some superlatives real quick. Charles, I want you to start. Favorite pick from day 3.
Marcus and Bal, Giants.
Yeah.
They needed an offensive line so badly. And I mean, I was sitting there, I was like, dude, you gotta take. Yeah, he was the last one that has real starter upside. Mm-hmm. I think that was on the board. So for them to get him at round 5, yeah. I think
the 18th pick in round 5.
That was really surprising. He fell that far.
Even though we were higher on him, the league still like by how who I talked to, and then looking at guys like Dane Brugger, who they had in like the 50s and 60s. So it wasn't like
some guys just fall.
Yeah, you know, that's just how it goes.
It's a weird draft. But. It's so weird because I feel weird about this draft. I like a lot of what they did, except the big thing to go trade up and get Jackson Dart. But Mbao, for a team that desperately needed offensive line help, this is a good pick for them.
Yeah, I actually really like their draft. The Giants. This is 2 years in a row I like their draft. If you just ignore the big move for Jackson Dart,
that seems about the state. Like this is like the state of the Giants. If you ignore the important, if you ignore quarterback, there's some cool stuff here.
All the in between stuff. No, I like Mbao. Mbeumo a lot. I love this pick in the fifth round. I thought he would probably go in the fourth, realistically, as things were falling. Think he'll end up as a guard. Love his technique and everything. Strength was probably the big blemish with him, and I think everyone was kind of in agreement with that. And then also, I think he had some medical stuff. And then I, again, haven't got that confirmed on anything, but that might have been the other reason he fell. I really like that pick. That was kind of my one honorable mention, so I'm glad you mentioned it. Matt, your favorite pick from day three.
Yeah, I'll play the hits here. I'll say receiver Torrey Horton was my favorite pick of day three because, like, there was always a risk he was going to fall because he's coming off of an injury. Although, you know, Nate, you were the one who kind of put me on him. And, you know, you said that the fact that he ran that 40 and worked out was pretty impressive. But mm-hmm. he's coming off of what is basically, do we even know what the knee injury was? Because I've only
said
it's
ACL.
Like, see, when I've read about it, it's like just knee injury, but I think it might be ACL. Either way, he was a top 10 receiver in this class for me. He was in the same tier of prospects as guys like Jack Besh, Kyle Williams, Trey Harris, all of whom went on the second day. And again, you know, my rankings aren't everything. He's coming off an injury. But as much as I like what Isaac Tesla was as an idea, they traded up so much to get him. Pat Bryant, you know, went ahead of him. Savion Williams, like, that's crazy to me. Like, Dyke from the Titans, like Dante Thornton with the Raiders, Ty Felton, who we talked about, like all these, Arian Smith from Georgia. Even Jalen Lane, like all these guys went ahead of Torrey Horton. I think he could outproduce like 10 of these dudes. I just think he's a really good player, and he's exactly what they needed in this wide receiver room. Like, they needed somebody with speed, the ability to beat man coverage, good release moves off the line of scrimmage. Like, maybe he's too skinny to be a real full-time X receiver, but they have MVS to do the sacrificial stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes an early impact, because I think he's pretty pro ready. And ultimately, again, I think long term he fills the exact type of receiver they need. I loved this pick by Seattle that they went and got him there.
Same. I mean, Seahawks took him, and then they took Damian Martinez in the seventh, and it's like, okay, I'm being realistic. Martinez went in the seventh, so I'm gonna understand. Sometimes the league tells you things. But Horton, he's a baller. He's just a football player. He's so good. I was scared because he plays fast and he can play downfield. His ball catching skills on the sideline are exceptional. I really liked, even for a long-legged guy, like on underneath routes, he can get north, which is usually sometimes those guys take too many stutters. And so, you know, I was like, okay, he's probably like smooth. He must be like a 4.5 guy or something. And then he goes and runs a low 4.4. And
coming off an injury.
With good hands. And everyone says he's a good teammate and everything. Yeah. So I thought this was maybe just fell. Other guys were, like you said, sorting by speed. Maybe he's coming off the leg injury, but really like this player as well. So I totally agree with you on this one. But I'll go with my favorite picks from round three. Those are also two I agree with completely. Going with Braden Swinson to the Patriots, just continuing how much I really like that draft class. Thought he could have gone earlier, hearing that he butted heads with coaches, which probably Vrabel actually probably liked, because he's kind of a masochist. So he probably was all about it. But no, I just really like that pick. Think he's a potential starter. Also makes sense for who they have on their front, because of just they have more some burly types. They're trying to get a little bit speedier as well. He's a tight end killer. Like the player a lot. And then talk about day three running backs. Devin Neal, who I had in my top 75, and I'm standing on it. I think Devin Neal is a great runner. Goes in the sixth round to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Perfect compliment to Alvin Kamara. He is everything that everybody wanted Keon Miller to be, where this guy is it Keon?
Kendre.
Kendre. Yeah. Kendre Miller to be Neal. Man, I just really liked him. I think just an efficient running back. I kind of compared him somewhere in between a Devin Singletary / David Montgomery running style. Doesn't have that long speed, but love his vision, love his balance. Think he just does everything well. And I just really like these backs. Yes, I pump him up higher than most people do. I thought realistically he'd maybe be there in the fourth. I thought that was kind of his sweet spot, especially with this class. Also, learned a lesson. Hey, if it's a deep running back class, everyone's going to wait till day three.
I should have
realized that. I was like, they're going to all go before round three. But if a bunch of guys are graded round three, everyone's going to wait until round four to take them all.
Shoot, but sometimes they turn into Chris Carson, seventh rounder from that 2017 class that this was compared to. So,
Devin. But Neal, Kamara sometimes battles injuries too. I think Neal's going to outplay his draft spot easily, because I think he's just a good football player. Yeah, he's probably always going to be a 50-50 split guy with somebody else, but this is a great spot to be a 50-50 split. Yeah. And good luck to the Falcons stopping the run again for two games.
You can go win rookie of the year in those two games right there.
That's
get it. Where's my fantasy waiver wire column? Let's write, or get, that's, yeah. That's Andy's thing. Get that to Barron's.
Yeah, just whoever goes, yeah, yeah. That's the automatic check. The chat is also saying it's DK.
I know. I did know that. Because I read it in Shout Out to Dane Brugler. I did read it in The Beast, and I was like, okay.
How'd you pronounce the first time?
Dike. We spelled D-I-K-E.
Just stopping some water.
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, all right, so now.
Get a little ethnic, Matt. That's what I want you to do, you know?
I'm trying. Talk to my wife. All she's done so far is give me a chain.
He needed an accent above it. All right, now we're going to go to our favorite player team fits. Matt, why don't you start us off?
Caleb Johnson, Pittsburgh Steelers. Love this. Great fit. It's the exact – when I was talking about where he needed to land, I've been talking about literally since the combine. Let's get this guy to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This makes so much sense. He's a natural zone runner. They ran outside zone they just ran zone concepts overall at the second highest rate. I love this depth chart, by the way. We had this on the fantasy show earlier. It's just Aaron Rodgers, quarterback potentially, is just beautiful. He's just going to smash. I think he's just going to smash in this offense. It would not surprise me if he's the second most productive rookie this year behind Ashton Jeanty, if Rodgers, you know, can be reasonable and functional. But yeah, so it's a great fit, exactly what he needed to do. Second highest zone percentage team behind only the Atlanta Falcons. So yeah, man, I think great fit for Caleb Johnson. He's going to be super productive.
Charles, what'd you think of this one?
I liked it a lot. I don't think it's I wouldn't expect this career from him, but when I watched him run, a lot of the outside zone stuff looked like Arian Foster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the way he glides. That's a bigger bag. Maybe not the fastest guy, but he sees it. It sets it up well.
Plants and hits the holes.
Right. So I like this fit for the Steelers. And if they can get Aaron Rodgers, they might have a little something on offense.
They might not be embarrassing.
Yeah, right. Because
that line's going to be good. The line's going to be good.
And look, Aaron Rodgers is annoying as hell. Yeah. We can all say that. Yeah, but. Sure. He actually did have some decent moments towards the end of the last season. Where you're like, okay, I can squint and see maybe I want this guy back or as my quarterback for next year. So.
And get him away from Hackett.
Yes.
You know, so he can't just control everything. And okay, all right, maybe he's going to be a little bit more humble.
They definitely don't boot as much play.
He ain't got a choice now.
Yeah, right. And Arthur's offense, they don't boot as much. They just straight drop back play action. Which would be nice.
And he'll rip it. He'll still rip it. You got targets. I know. I'm talking myself into him, but I love this fit. This was
famous
one of my favorite.
Last words.
But I just love this Johnson fit to the Steelers. Just love the line. So everything you said, Matt, agreed with this. Was one of my favorites as well. Charles, what was one of your favorite player and team fits?
I'm going to keep it quick and simple. Darian Porter, cornerback from Iowa State.
Once it happened, it was like, duh.
Yeah. I mean, there's some picks where it's made, and I don't really even care how it turns out because I like the process.
Yeah.
Darian Porter, top of round three, absolute alien in terms of athleticism, shows in the field. I think there's real tangible upside for him to get better. And then he lands with one of the best cornerback teachers of the past two decades of football, Pete Carroll. So it's a good fit. I think it's a clean fit. Obviously, the height, weight, speed, size fits what Pete's going for. So this is one of my favorite picks of the whole draft.
Really. Loved it. I like the Raiders class overall, and that was big, big reason for it. I'll give a couple of mine because I can't help myself. Agreed with those, but Mykel Williams, the 49ers. I know it's a first rounder. I wanted to get a little more creative than this, but this is exactly where he should go. This is exactly what they needed. It's the kind of right range for him as far as quote unquote value. But I think the upside and even what his baseline is makes sense for this year for the 49ers. Plus that you can get more out of him. Compliments Nick Bosa perfectly. I've already talked about this at our recap of round one show, but this is one of my favorite fits in the entire weekend. One I wanted to see too. So it was cool to see it actually happen. I'll go with another top 10 pick. That's Armin Membu to the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go, Jets awesome. Offensive line. This is a lot of fun, what I think they can have, especially if they're healthy, especially the running backs they have in the room, especially with Justin Fields. We look forward to those two-hour games in New York at the Meadowlands. It's going to be great to get you guys out of there. If it's a Monday night game or Thursday night game that you guys always get, you'll be home by 11.
See, I'm going to go back, you know?
I know, right? Yeah. Keep it on a clock. Maybe you get a nightcap after. No, but I what I like most about this, there's some projection even for me. It was Membu ended up getting the nod for me over Will Campbell, but they're right next to each other. Like them both. Okay, this is a true tackle prospect, but he's only played the right side. Okay, but now he goes to the Jets where he can stay on the right side with Olu Fashanu. great bookend tackles there. Fired up about this player team fit. And you guys are just, we got breaking news.
I actually just didn't want to talk. The Falcons just put out a statement saying that it was Jeff Ulbrich's son who called Shedeur Sanders.
In the statement, it says that Jeff Ulbrich's 21-year-old son unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number for Shedeur Sanders. Unintentionally?
We saw the video.
Yeah, how you accidentally come across that? Like, what are we talking about?
That was a nefarious laugh in that video.
Yeah. Dropping the grade even more?
I mean, I think
that's Bush League stuff.
It is. Yeah. That's just amateur.
Man, you're 21. You know how much it would hurt to have your dream be right there on your
And also, he's been around the business.
Yeah.
Like, your dad's a coach. Like, you know how that goes. Like, you're not just some random
Falcons dude.
Falcons
draft gets an F now.
Yeah. F. Bad weekend for the Falcons.
Bad weekend.
Unintentionally came across.
No, it's just bad.
Yeah, no. You were looking for it, kid.
That was a good way to cap it.
How do you get that in there?
We're closing it out today. It was a heck of a weekend. Thank you guys for joining us today. Thank you for joining us Thursday, Friday, all the stuff, the recap show we had. Thank you, actually, for joining us for draft season. All the preview shows, the fantasy angles that you guys had, those shows. We had mock drafts throughout. We had player profile shows, articles, plenty of articles, big boards and stuff. You guys kick butt, of course. It was a pleasure doing it with you guys. Pleasure with doing everybody behind the scenes who is just making us look and sound good. Everyone here in LA was a lot of fun, but subscribe to us and stick with us throughout the off season. On Thursdays, kind of going to a once a week show. I should probably announce it too. I'm having baby number two, or my wife is having baby number two. Thank you. We're having a girl. But that will be in June. We'll have a little bit more announcements about the show scheduling to come. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on Twitter, Nate Tice on Blue Sky. Matt, where can they find you?
Find me at @MattHarmon_BYB. Shout out to you guys. You did great work. It was awesome doing it with you guys this year.
So much fun. Charles, where are they going to find you?
For the next few weeks, you can find me nowhere.
Yeah.
You can find me on Blue Sky, Forwards. I'm hoping to get away from y'all for a little bit.
Fair enough. No hurt feelings.
I'll have because I'm a sicko. I'll have a 2026 big board coming out sometime this week, and then you won't be hearing from me for a little bit. But mailbag, we'll probably definitely hit a mailbag question over this next month. Send those questions to football301mailbag@yahoosports.com. We had great questions today, great statements, comments today. You guys have been awesome when you've sent these in. So please send those in to football301mailbag@yahoosports.com or leave us a 5-star review on Apple with your question below. There's somebody that has updated it like 3 times, and I'm going to get to each one of those updates, I promise. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us those 5 stars. If you don't raise 5 stars, just yell us online. Everyone else does it. Watch us on YouTube, on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. But again, shout out to this crew for working so hard. Yes. We have long hours. They have double those hours have to work, and we get to do the fun stuff and talk. One of our producers, Brad, is right behind me, and he just had to stand here the entire time and listen to us. So, but shout out to these guys. They work so hard. Stone, Madison, Jason, Tommy, Phil, Jonathan, Ismail, and Brett, thank you. You guys killed it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.